What up, guys? What's going on? Welcome to New Perceptions Podcast with me, your host, Ben Brown, also known as Mr. Ben Brown, actual name Benjamin Brown. What's going on, guys? Yeah, episode four. This is going to be sort of, I'm going to do a whole bunch of different types of podcasts. There's lots of things that I want to be sharing and people that I want to be interviewing and all that jazz. On this podcast, but every now and then, I think maybe once a week or so, I'm just kind of gonna go through and give you guys a bit of an update as to what it is that I am up to specifically over the week. So I'm just gonna talk about like what happened last week, really, which seems appropriate since we're on day 7 of January. It's January the 7th, 2019. And yeah, lots happened in the last week. Obviously, the last time I recorded a podcast was on the very last day of 2018, and it wasn't my best podcast. I mean, I've done three so far, so whatever. I'm gonna get better at this podcasting thing. But I was feeling in like, I don't know, just a bit of a weird, not a weird frame of mind, but like, it was strange. We were doing it in an Airbnb in Glastonbury, and I didn't feel entirely like I was in my flow, but that's okay, because part of this podcast for me is about not letting perfection get in the way of progress, and actually just getting these things out, which is which is funny because I've just spent literally the last hour trying to set up this podcast and record it. There's a lot I'm in Cape Town now, by the way. My location has changed. I have flown down to the southern hemisphere, down to Africa, South Africa, Cape Town City. If you guys have been following me for a while, you'll know that I spend a lot of time here. It's kind of my second home, but I'm fast becoming over the last like couple of years at least, like my number one place that I want to spend time. Yeah, in Africa, it just feels right down here. It feels like where I'm most happy. It feels like where my energy is at its best, and I feel inspired. And I'm just like, I'm a happy little human down here. I'm just gonna sip on my tea. Oh, how's it? I've got some lemon, ginger, and turmeric tea going on right now. It's pretty damn delicious. So yeah, a week ago I put a podcast out saying I hope everybody's gonna transition nicely into 2019 and leave 2018 behind in the way of not learning the same lessons over and over, leaving those old habits and cycles and routines behind. The ones that don't serve us, and taking our energy and trying to find some new energy, trying to find some new cycles, some new habits, and just kind of like being really mindful of what it is in 2018 that was working for me and what wasn't, and then just like drawing some boundaries up and saying, okay, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to continue doing this rather. So along with that threshold of moving through into a whole new year, Ella and I have also packed our bags and come down to Cape Town on a much more serious and permanent basis. Last time was a little bit of a, I mean, it was a 7-week trip down here, so it wasn't a short trip, but it was more of a tester. We didn't have any specific plans other than to sort of get the flat a little bit organized and have Ella meet all my tribe down here and all my people. Show Ella around Cape Town and South Africa a little bit and just hope that she likes it. And she did. So now we've moved down here, which isn't quite so easy. And we make it sound like it's nothing. And we were talking about this yesterday, actually, but it's quite a big thing for us to do. We've only been dating for almost 8 months. So only. Yeah, it just feels like considering everything that's happening. And that's happened over the last year or so. it sometimes feels quite rushed to be like settling down. And that was causing us both a little bit of anxiety over like the last 24 hours, which is totally understandable. Because it's like living with someone that I haven't known Ella that long. We've only been dating for 8 months. And in the same breath, she hasn't known me for that long. So there's a few things that we are working on, mostly through solid communication, just to make sure we don't get on each other's nerves too much as we're living in this small apartment, and give ourselves a fighting chance, you know, to do all the wild, ambitious things that we want to achieve whilst living together in harmony and helping each other too, when and where we can. And also just letting each other get on with our lives too, and know that we're not exactly going to be in each other's pockets all the time, working on the same projects, or like we have two very separate lives also. So yeah, teamwork is being learned. But yeah, I'm in my lounge. I'm in Cape Town. This is the first time I'm doing a podcast from Cape Town. I really hope the audio is okay. I've got my headphones in, and they're like those little in-ear bud headphones. I'm again recording this podcast with a relatively cheap microphone plugged into my iPad. And I want to get a pop filter, like a pop screen, that so when I say P, it doesn't like hit you in the eardrums quite so hard. There's a few things that I want to improve, definitely. And also, we don't live in a noisy part of Cape Town. We're not in a noisy area. But just now, I literally had to just wait 15 minutes while someone outside said goodbye to their family for like an hour as loud as they could. And also in Cape Town, it's rare that you have a house or an apartment building with double glazed windows. Everything's single glazed windows. Because it's not so cold here on average as it is everywhere else, it seems. So the sound kind of travels, which is fine. We're not on a noisy apartment block, so it's all good. But yeah, welcome to Cape Town. I'm so happy to be here, guys. It feels like I've been waiting to come back here for months, almost the whole year. Not quite the whole year, but even though we were here like a couple of months ago, and before we went back to the UK for the last couple of months of 2018, it feels like, I don't know, I've just been waiting this whole year to find myself in a routine, in a position where I can just go, ah, okay, right, what are we going to do then, you know, and just and build my routine and find out what it is that's serving me and what's not. And where it is I want to go, what I want to make, what I want to do, what does that look like, do some planning, and just get into a normal, healthy routine. Because I think also Ella and I were talking about this yesterday, is that we're very grateful, of course, for all the opportunities that allow us to travel and be entrepreneurs and work on different projects, work with brands, try and make some money, communicate with an audience, and all the joys of those challenges. Very, very grateful for, and wouldn't change a thing. Except there's a lot of power and a lot of comfort in just staying in one place and just having some routine that you know is good for you and is healthy for you, and settling into that routine for a period of time that can build you up to be exactly where you want to be physically and emotionally. And I feel like we're finally sort of on that track now. The apartment's looking great. Ella's been fantastic with interior designing the place. It's not really something that's like I think I'd be a good interior designer. Like I think I have good style, but actually implicating and getting things done in terms of like furnishing, it's not really my forte. I'd rather be out swimming in the ocean, but I'm beginning to really understand how nice it is to have like a nest that you can come back to where you can completely be comfortable and chill and have everything you need around you. So that's what we're making. Just gonna have a sip of my turmeric tea. But yeah, over the last week, obviously New Year's Eve in Glastonbury was pretty great, very chilled. Was nice to get away. And then yeah, we spent a bit of time over New Year's and after New Year's as well, like the last week or so, really like trying to understand roughly, because it's difficult at this stage for me right now to know exactly precisely what I'm going to be doing this year. I have a rough idea, and a lot of the bigger plans that I'm not really willing to or wanting to talk about publicly right now. Very exciting, big stuff. And all the very exciting and big stuff can only happen if I'm doing all the mundane little stuff really well. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Just powering up, really. Instead of my previous sort of attitude to getting things done was just go full steam ahead. And I often find it difficult to finish things because I run out of interest, or money or time. And there's just like a general lack of preparation that leads to me not finishing things, to the quality that I would would expect for myself, you know? And I think that's pretty normal. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to achieve everything. And sometimes that doesn't really work out. Like the do doesn't really get you exactly where you want to be always, which is where I found myself now. It's like, okay, I can't continue doing until I know why I'm doing it. I think that's a fair question to ask. And I think it's fair also to allow myself some time to figure that one out. How long it's going to take me to figure that one out? I don't know. So far it's taken almost a year. I remember this time last year being really not like any kind of assurity that I was displaying in what I was doing was more of a cover-up, a subconscious cover-up. I didn't realize I didn't know what it was that I was doing. I just was sort of living a life that wasn't exactly making me happy, but I didn't really want to accept that at the time, and because I knew that changes were going to be big and painful and turbulent. So now I don't want big and painful and turbulent. I want gentle, thought out, and powerful execution of things. I think to get to that place is a journey in itself. And certainly having all the strengths and the tools around you to do the things and achieve the dreams that I want to achieve is going to take some inward reflection, you know. But I've been doing so much bloody inward reflection and so much personal homework recently that I have to balance that so I don't go crazy, basically. I've got to balance that. Whilst I'm in Cape Town, it's super easy for me to balance that because there's plenty of nature. There's things that go really well with trying to figure out, there's like transitional periods of your life. It's okay to take a lot of time to figure out. It's okay to not know what you want to do. And it's okay to not have an answer like immediately. I often get frustrated because things aren't happening quick enough, you know? And then I realize that they're not happening quickly because there's all loads of things that I haven't even started that need to happen before that can happen, you know? Things take time. But in Cape Town, everything around me is like a compliment to who I want to be and what I want to do. Nature. I want to get out in nature. I want to be involved more with helping people get out into nature and inspiring people out into nature. That's something that I'm definitely very proud of with all of my content that I've made previously. Is that it encouraged a lot of people to get hold of their camera and go out and explore the world, that this beautiful planet, you know. That's a good place to start for sure, in terms of having like a positive impact on people. Get out in the nature, definitely. And now my apartment is like a 5 minute walk from the beach. And it's like got like a tidal pool there. So when the high tide comes in, they've built like concrete walls around the rocks. So I'm sure a lot of you guys know what a tidal pool is, but if you don't, the high tide fills up the tidal pool, and then when the tide goes away, it leaves water in there. But we're on the Atlantic Ocean here, so it's so cold. And the reason that it gets cold in the water here is because in the summer, which is now because we're in the southern hemisphere, it's summer right now. So, and the prevailing winds in summer in Cape Town are southeasterly. So the southeaster pumps through Cape Town, and which is why it's a particularly popular destination for kite surfers and windsurfers this time of year, and downwind surf ski kayaking, which is something I used to do, which I think is super fun. But what happens is the southeaster comes through and it like rocks Cape Town, and then it's blowing offshore on the Atlantic side. So we've got these crazy winds coming down off of Table Mountain, funneling down the mountainside and straight onto the ocean. And anybody who's been to Cape Town when the wind is really pumping will tell you it's like not a pleasant experience. You have not seen wind like this before. And of course, that pushes offshore. The surface water just gets pushed out to sea. And because the surface water is being pushed out to sea, the cold, cold water from the depths of the Atlantic, like as kind of like a cycle. So as the water gets pushed off of the surface, up comes the cold water to replace it from the depths. I think that's accurate. Anyway, that's what SP and my environmental science and like oceanography peeps used to tell me. And that's why the Atlantic gets cold, and it's also why it gets really clear and clean. Because it's that cycle of water. So I think I've mentioned before that I like part of my daily routine for a long time now has been to have a cold shower in the morning. And when I'm in the UK, it's super easy to have a really, really cold shower because the water comes out super cold in the winter. But here it comes out sort of cold. But we've got the Atlantic, which is literally you're jumping in, you've got an ice cream headache, it's so cold, and I'm in there as long as I possibly can, and I'm just thinking about Wim Hof, and his breathing, and he's just like, Wim Hof's like quote is breathe, motherfucker, and so I'm just sitting there going hyperventilating, like trying not to freak out because it's so cold, but it really is chilly at the moment, so. Can't stay in for very long, and then I'll sit on the rocks. And this is all like first thing in the morning. Part of my new routine is getting up early again, getting back into my discipline of like from my athletic days when I found it. I used to think it was super easy to get up early in the morning because I had purpose behind it, you know. So I've been getting up early, I've been jumping in the Atlantic, freezing cold, I've been meditating, and I've been, just eating very healthily. Veggies, lots and lots of veggies. Laying off the alcohol. I mean, you guys know I'm not a drinker anyway. And getting some good night's sleep. That's really like sort of the basis of my routine that I'm going to be building over the next few weeks, and just sort of experimenting with things that I can do over and over again that are going to help make me stronger in life. Ready. Flip, what else has been going on? Just really happy to be back in Cape Town, to be honest, like with all my chummies. I've got lots of friends down here now, and the tribe is very, very strong. And as soon as we landed 2 days ago, in the evening, we were treated to a delicious vegetarian banquet of food from cooked by and presented by my very good friend Melissa Delport, aka on Instagram Truffle Journal. She's got a cookbook out as well, which is amazing. And yeah, I'm going to try and maybe even get her on the podcast at some stage. I think she was pretty keen. She's a powerhouse, Capricorn, loves to get things done. And she, yeah, she's just an incredible person and had lots of people over. She's very good at cooking beautiful food for lots of people. So everybody comes over and just eats all this high frequency, delicious food and hangs out. So it was really nice to catch up with everybody. And flip, what else have I been up to the last week or so? I've been borrowing this beautiful car from Land Rover, the Discovery Sport, which is not exactly my first choice of Land Rover. But super fun car to drive, like for a 4x4 that's capable off-road, very, very fun around the city, super speedy, super comfortable. I love it. Very, very good looking car as well. I think it looks way better than the new Discovery. The Discovery Sport is like a really cool little rocket ship for me. I think it's sick. Obviously, I prefer Pumba, my old school Defender, my 98 TDI. A little bit more my style. And certainly, it was really fun to like get hold of a nice shiny new car and take and go shoot that thing in the woods, which I did in Windsor with my friend Chris on his farm. We went and took the car for a spin around the woods, took a few pictures, which I'm going to edit and put online, probably on Instagram after I finish this podcast. Tea break. So that was super fun. Really nice. Also just to like, really nice of Land Rover. Thank you, Land Rover UK, for lending me a car because my last car broke, which I had to leave in Wales and it got scrapped. Buster the VRS got scrapped, guys. It's such a sad story, but also quite a funny one. That was a really interesting few days, actually. A very challenging few days, but Buster the VRS is gone. So Land Rover came to the rescue and lent me a car so I could get around and carry on with my life and crack on. And it was also a really nice excuse to get my digital camera, my 1D, back in my hand and shoot some pics. I went for, like, I haven't really looked properly at the pictures yet, but I was going for, it was sort of dusk, low lights in the woods with the lights on the car, going around a corner with leaves everywhere. And I was trying to drag shutter. So drag shutter is like where you're taking a picture, but the speed of the shutter is slow, so you get a blurry effect. But if you take that picture whilst you're moving with the motion of the car, sorry, I just touched the mic. If you do that, if you drag the shutter and take the picture, the idea is what you're looking for is like the car being sharp because you're following it with the camera, but the background and the rest of the picture is blurry, so it gives a lot of motion and movement into the picture. It's a really fun way of shooting. It's a nice challenge. So that's what we kind of went for. Thanks to Land Rover. And there's like some exciting Land Rover announcements that are happening very soon, which I'm definitely not allowed to talk about. Also, I'm collecting today or tomorrow Pumba. Pumba's been staying, whilst we're talking about Land Rovers, Pumba's been at a place called Ponstein 4x4, which is in Somerset West, just outside of Cape Town. And those guys look after Pumba and do all the servicing and repairs and all the work on Pumba, because if I'm honest, they're the only people that I trust with the car anymore. I've been through so many terrible mechanics here in Cape Town where they'll charge you an arm and a leg to fix your car. And then like 500 kilometers later, something else is broken that I actually had fixed the last time I went there. And sometimes I've had new parts being swapped with old. It's not so easy to get your Defender reliably serviced in Cape Town, it turns out. But we found somewhere, Ponstein 4x4. Thanks to those guys. Eternally grateful for all the work that you guys do on Pumba. And those guys build from the ground up brand new Defenders. I say brand new, like they take an old chassis and they rebuild the whole thing. They kind of make it new again and put a new engine in. And they get orders from all over the world for their beautiful Defenders that they build. And very, very busy the whole time. it's actually amazing to go in and watch their workshop. They're just so many people just meticulously like building these Land Rovers, these Defenders up. It's really a vibe if you're into that sort of thing. So now we've got Pumbaa back, there's definitely going to be more opportunities to go and shoot that car and go get out into the nature and go get into the sand dunes and maybe go camping and do all the things that I love to do. And that, like I was saying earlier, all the things that I've like, they're my favourite things to do, and this is what I work for, and this is what I want to spend my time doing, like, with my life. So we will do those things. I also got an amazing Christmas present from Ella. She actually gifted it to all of her family too. So it all went as a group. If you might have seen on my Instagram story, it looked a little bit crazy, but we went to the Saatchi Gallery in London, where there was an exhibition on there called Ocean of Air. And it's a virtual reality experience where you can have a wander around. You've got the goggles on, obviously, and you've got like a bit of a backpack on, and they put things on your hands too, and then they clip something to your earlobe, which monitors your heart rate. And when you're in your VR world and you look down at your hands, you can see it. They've made it look like the blood vessels of your hands, so you can see your fingertips, and it's visually like the blood and your fingertips are kind of like pulsating with your heartbeat. And somehow they also know when you're breathing out. I'm sure I didn't really ask how they know this, but you breathe out, and as you breathe out, you go, and then in front of you, just air molecules just behave just like sort of smoke, really, but obviously animation. And then with your hands, you swipe through that air that you've just breathed out, and you see all the molecules reacting and behaving just like smoke. It's incredible. I mean, that's a really not, like, it doesn't sound very incredible the way I described it and, like, what was going on. But keep in mind, you're also in, like, a 3D space, a virtual reality space, where you're kind of, like, at the base of a tree. You're at the foot of a tree, and you're in nature a little bit. But you can walk through the tree and look up and see just, like, spirals going up to the top of the tree. And it was a very calm, trippy, thought-provoking experience. Certainly everybody was, I don't know how long it is, like 10 minutes. Everybody took their goggles off afterwards and was just very at peace, like very calm and not really understanding exactly what went on, but really cool. Sort of therapy, as it were. I think virtual reality is going to be a really nice way for people to jump into another world and calm themselves down and just like take some time. If you maybe don't have time, or maybe you don't have a woodland nearby that you want to go walk through and have a breathe, in the future people are going to be chucking on their virtual reality sets to have their like nature fix. It's going to be weird, but it was very exciting. And then thank you, Ella, for such an epic Christmas present. And also, if you're in London, I think it's traveling around the world. It's called Ocean of Air. But yeah, check it out, homies. Highly recommend it. So yeah, we flew back. We flew back 2 days ago, and usually I fly down with British Airways direct. From London Heathrow all the way down to Cape Town, it takes like 12 hours, sometimes less. It's a super easy flight. It's overnight. You get on the plane at like 7-8 o'clock at night, and you wake up in the morning, you're there. Except Cape Town International Airport hasn't yet invested in a longer runway or the new like terminal docking things to allow the big A380 planes to come and land. So it's super frustrating because it's 2019 and we're flying in these old Boeing 747 jumbo jet planes, which I don't mind. I'm into the retro vibe. I love a bit of retro, you know me. And I think those jumbo jets are such classic planes. And I think, as far as, I don't know much about aviation, but I think they changed the game. They were like the A380 of their day, having an upstairs section and first class and stuff. But it's so expensive, guys, to fly down with British Airways Direct, which, and I understand long haul flying is an expensive business, but don't charge me for like an Uber Lux and then have an Uber Pool turn up, you know? Like, I really feel like they've completely, like, gut that plane, take all the old cuck seats out. Like, honestly, the screens in there are so old and terrible. It makes me angry. This is a bit of a rant and I need to just get the fuck over this, but it makes me so angry to fly on these old planes and pay the price of a new plane, you know? So this time, rather, it turns out that we booked our flight, and the cheapest one was to go via Joburg. And actually, it was, for some reason, cheaper to go with premium economy, which is like supposed to be sort of a middle ground between economy seating and business class. But I thought, okay, cool, we're on a nice brand new plane, surely, down to Joburg. And then you connect your flight, and we got an old average plane across to Cape Town, which is a 2-hour flight. And they forgot to organize our vegetarian meals, which usually isn't super a big deal for me. I usually opt for vegetarian on a plane anyway, because I don't trust that shit. And then your food comes out before everybody else as well, and then you can kind of get your eating thing. I hate eating airplane food as well. I always try and have like a big meal before I get on a long haul flight at Wagamama's or somewhere relatively healthy, before just being served that terrible, terrible food. And it, for some reason, on British Airways, it used to be in premium economy that the food was like good, and you get like metal cutlery, because the whole single-use plastic cutlery thing is also disgusting. But they just don't do that anymore. And this time, they also forgot that we'd ordered vegetarian food. So, and then they handed me the menu. The dude was like, "Oh, sorry, like for some reason something's gone wrong. But here's the menu if you want to choose something else." And it was like, "Chicken or beef? Would you like chicken or beef, sir?" I was like, "Oh my god, are you kidding me?" Old school Ben would not have been fussy. I would have been like, "Give me both. Give me the chicken and the beef." But now I'm just very conscious about what goes into my body and how it makes me feel. And I would far prefer not to eat anything than to eat that horridly processed and then microwave reheated airplane food. I totally understand that on an airplane, it's all about weight, right? So can't you take some money off my flight and then just not give me any shit food at all? I'd rather not. Because also it's just, it feels like we'd all be better, especially in economy. I'm sure it's a completely different story. In fact, I know it's a different story in business class. You actually get real food and they serve it to you on a real plate with actual cutlery. And it turns out nobody ends up stabbing each other anyway. But give me an option to not have to eat your terrible food. And like, yeah, it just feels wasteful and single UC, and just, I don't like it. So that's my rant out of the way. Apologies for that. And I'm sure it's not just British Airways that has to like sort their food out, but like, do we still need to use a brand new plastic cup every time you give me half a cup of water? Like, I don't know, it just feels unnecessary. But this is, again, like stuff that I never really used to care that much about. And now I just think, I don't want to do too much flying, actually, because it's a big old carbon footprint, and certainly not until I try to figure out a way to combat, or at least like start to have a slightly smaller carbon footprint, you know. I don't know, figuring these things out, let you know how we go. So yeah, we arrived in Cape Town. Oh, but let me just rant about one more thing. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know already that I dislike this immensely. And I don't know if any of you guys out there can relate to this, but and definitely I need to check my privilege, because flying is a privilege in itself. But when you land somewhere and you go to collect your bags from the carousel, right, everybody's already like agitated and rushing off of the plane and like trying to get there first, and like everybody's angry because flying is generally a stressful experience because we're overcharged and etc. And then you get to the, of course everybody's agitated, you get to the baggage carousel, and I usually cruise through, like I'm never the first to the baggage carousel. Like I don't want to watch that thing like start up. It's not exciting for me anymore. You're not allowed to even sit on it. So I get there and I can't even see the baggage carousel because people are surrounding it. Now this seems normal, right? You've got to go over to the baggage carousel. You've got to see whether your bag's there. If everybody would just take like 3 or 4 steps back, everybody take a few steps back, then everybody can see the baggage carousel. And guess what? 99.9% of the time that you're waiting by the baggage carousel, you ain't getting your bag. You're waiting for it, just like everybody else. So this is really one of my like pet peeves. And it really teaches me to be patient at airports. And it really, but just step the fuck back so that I can see my bag when it is or isn't coming. So, and then I like be standing on my trolley because I'm short anyway, like agitated and like trying to see if my bag's even coming. And then when it is coming, I can't even get to the freaking thing because peeps are just so unconscious. It just feels like unconscious. It's like, wake up. I just want to like get a megaphone and just be like, could everybody please take a step back so that we can see the fucking bags? Thank you. Yeah, that's probably not that funny, but I just, what's funny is how agitated I get about it. And now I just see it as an opportunity to remind myself that there are a lot of unconscious humans out there and there's nothing I can do about it. And they're going to be in the way often, and to forgive them for that, because they probably, there's a reason why people are like unconscious about things, and I'm definitely unconscious about things that upset people and have been for a long time, like, but if like I don't even know where to like begin, because it feels like I'm complaining about something I shouldn't be complaining about, but at the same time it's like, come on guys. Like, this is really basics. This is, like, basic stuff here. Anyway, that's not the last time I'm probably going to talk about the baggage carousel situation on the podcast, but I had to ventilate about that one, you know, get the vintage out. What else has been going on? Flip. Yeah, caught up with the tribe. The tribe down here at the moment is really strong. We've got, like, everybody's sunk their teeth into loads of work. There's, let me just speak about the tribe down here for a few minutes, because I love my people down here. So I already spoke about Mel, who is an incredible photographer and a chef, food photographer. She's got a cookbook out called Whole, which is incredibly healthy eating and recipes. I'm going to try and actually do some cooking from that cookbook at some stage. But also we got Nordir, who is my friend, who produced... what's he been producing? Jeremy Loop's music video. And Brino also. Bryn North, who is low-key the best travel filmmaker that I know. Anybody that follows Bryn will know that like he kills it. He's like amazing. Those guys have been doing a lot of work. recently and been traveling around Africa and working for I4 animal welfare charities and just doing loads of really great conscious work. And Kyle Myloff, my friend, has been in Saudi Arabia shooting and just working for the tourism board there, which I think is one of the first, I think maybe he's one of the first people to go there, or I'm going to try and ask him a bit more about it. But he's been getting some incredible shots. Everybody's just out here, like, getting their work done. And we've got, of course, Tom Lovemore. He's a very close friend of mine, who is part-time guide for Atlantic Outlook. He's having a great time. He gave up drinking like 3 months ago because he was getting caught up, I think, by the student lifestyle. And he just hasn't even looked back. He's like, I don't want to stop. Why would I start drinking again or start like partying again like that? Everything's going so well for me. It's so productive. And I feel like he's got this energy now that's kind of like boundless, which is really nice to see, very inspiring. But yeah, there's loads of people down here that I love and feel very connected to and feel very lucky to know. And it kind of is just like a bit of the theme that an underlying theme down here. Cape Town is a small city, but lots of beautiful people. I as an influencer or like Instagrammer or someone who's got like a lot of followers on the internet, I get sent free stuff, or at least offered to be sent free stuff quite frequently. And I usually just say no thank you, because it's usually not like a brand that I'd wear or use or support or want to be affiliated with. So I say no. I know like a few influencer friends, because there's never any obligation behind these free things. You usually get an email from like a marketing agency just saying, we want to send you the new by so-and-so, and like, no strings attached. So yeah, I've just been starting to say yes to a few more of those things, certainly not the ones that I feel like are a complete waste of my time, or completely misaligned with me and my brand and what I'm doing on the internet. But there was a really exciting collaboration recently where I think Christopher Rayburn, who is a designer, he's a fashion designer, either collaborated with or is just straight taken over Timberland, the brand, and designing and making these really cool, like, urban-y kind of sustainable pieces of clothing. And I got sent a couple of the hoodies, and they're so cool. So I was busy wearing one of those in one of my Instagram stories, thanking Christopher Rayburn for doing such a great job. He's actually a really inspiring dude. I think we're about the same age as well. And he's just like creative director for Timberland. Sick. And just like smashing it with the sustainability in terms of the way the products are made and distributed. It's very ethical, which is cool. So shout out to Timberland X Rayburn for sending me a jersey. And I'm like, I dig fashion. Like, I'm not a big fashion head. I think about what I'm wearing always, almost always. And I think I kind of have, like, I'm finding my style a little bit at the moment. It's kind of like a cross between, like, sort of 70s or 80s. It's like 70s, 80s, 90s kind of vintage thrifting kind of look, but then I wear like a sick Patagonia jacket that's like brand new and have like a modern twist on it. That's kind of the vibe that I'm going with often. But yeah, I'm excited to indulge in some fashion and some new clothing, so long as it's kind of sustainable and eco-groovy and conscious. I got sent these really cool shoes called Allbirds shoes. And aside from being like the most comfy shoes ever, none of these are adverts, by the way. I'm not getting paid to say any of this. I'm just really curious about it because this is me and this is my business and this is what I do. Yeah, these Allbirds shoes are sustainably made and they're quite pricey, but shoes are quite pricey, I think. And they're like backed by Leonardo DiCaprio, and they sent me some and they're really lacquer. So that kind of stuff is like conscious brands. That's what really makes me really stoked. And also I like the challenge of like sort of showing me and my journey in my content as well as just like branded stuff, you know, if that makes sense. Yeah, flip. What else? Started reading Steve Jobs' biography by the one by Walter Isaacson. Super fascinating, really, really fascinating. And I mean, I've read one of I read another Steve Jobs book, and I've been a fan of Steve Jobs, but not really so much of a hardcore fan that I like know all about him and everything that happened to him. So it's really fascinating to read from someone else's perspective, especially such an incredible writer. Walter Isaacson is an incredible biographical author. And the reason I started reading this is because Ella was like, oh, did you know that actually, Steve Jobs also is a Pisces with an Aries moon. And I don't know if you guys have picked up at all about I'm getting more and more interested in astrology. And my sun is in Pisces, my moon is in Aries, and my ascendant is Aquarius. Anyway, Steve Jobs also is sun in Pisces and moon in Aries. So I was just like immediately interested. I was like, oh, I'll probably relate to you on a few things. Definitely can. Reading his book, like, definitely can relate to Steve Jobs, which is fun. Shame that guy's dead. Shame. Rest in peace, Steve. But yo, what a legacy he left, eh? Talks about that in the book, actually, about how he always wanted to build something that was going to outlive him. Yeah, I think he freaking did that, didn't he? As I'm recording this like podcast, with surrounded by Apple products that allow me to do what I want to do and allow me to be creative in the ways that I want to be creative. Often they're very frustrating, but I think I wonder how different Apple products would be if Steve was still around. But yeah. Oh, also, I'm really like fussy with my notepads and my notebooks, and around this time of year, like around New Year's, is the time that I like to get a new notepad. You know, you gotta start afresh. And my favorite notepads are Moleskin notepads, always have been. They're just the kind of notepads that, in like, after a year of them being in your bag, they just look great as opposed to like falling apart, and they're gonna last the test of time. They'll stand the test of time. And I'm very meticulous with the way I go about sort of recording stuff now, and writing things down. Certainly if there's something that I'm reading about in one of my books or something I've read or like a quote I've seen on Instagram, I'll write it down and I'll make sure to put the date so that when I'm looking back through all these notes in the future, like it's all organized, you know, and I can kind of see my progress and it's a big part of like how I like to sort of make sense of everything and plan and do my to-do lists. And every morning I write down like what I'm grateful for. And if I see a quote that I like, which I wrote down, actually, I found a quote the other day on the internet, which I wrote down and I was waiting to tell you guys. Kind of sums up life for me last year. And I think life for a lot of people last year. It was quite a shake up. And I don't know who the quote is by, unfortunately. I probably could just Google it. It's one of those ones that I found on my Explorer page on Instagram. But it says, when the time comes for you to change or grow, the universe will make it so uncomfortable you'll eventually have no choice. So for me, it's like that hit home real hard because sometimes and often we don't feel like it's a good time for challenges to be hitting us. Like we don't know why is this happening right now. Like I feel so uncomfortable. And it forces you to change and adapt and have a little wiggle around and a reshuffle of your life and be like, okay, whew, okay, well, I learned that that's definitely not for me. Okay, cool. We're going to move on and carry on trying to figure this thing out. But it's that discomfort that causes you to change and it causes you to evolve and not sit still. Like the universe will make you uncomfortable if it wants you to keep moving or you thinks you're doing the wrong thing. And I went for years ignoring those discomforts, thinking this is just part and parcel of, what it takes to make it. Whatever make it means. But yeah, things got real uncomfortable for me. Actually, starting around this time last year, this is when it really all started to kick off. Before I had the motorcycle accident, anyway. Things were particularly uncomfortable for me for actually most of 2017 was pretty like I spent a lot of time ignoring the discomforts that I should have been addressing and removing and changing and growing through in my life. And I just refused. I was like, I don't need to do any more growth. I just need to keep going. Yeah, so then the motorcycle accident happened. Severe discomfort, and then I had no choice but to grow and change and evolve and leave behind the things that weren't serving me and the things that were making me unhappy, despite that not necessarily being popular opinion for those that were around me and those who thought that they understood my reality online. Which, of course, is a limited scope of how much you see of a person online. It's very easy to judge sort of internet celebrity peeps and just be like, oh yeah, it's everything's perfect for you because perfect sells. So yeah, that was a nice quote and I wrote that down in my new Moleskine book, in my new Moleskine diary. I've actually got two now because I find myself doing so much writing about things that I'm interested in right now that I've got just a plain one. It's actually not a plain one. It says in the front here, it's like a professional notebook. And it's not my preference. I like the dotted ones. I don't need lines. Just give me dots so I can like draw as well. When there's lines, I feel like I'm not allowed to draw on it. I like to do a lot of sketching in my notebooks too and just scribbling and drawing. So I've got that. For like writing notes and planning podcasts like this one, trying to bring a little bit more structure into this one and have a bit more of a plan of what I'm going to say. And then I've got this other much thicker moleskin, twice as thick, in fact. And this is one of those ones that's one, it's a year calendar, like it's a diary, a proper diary, and it's one day per page. So. And in the front, it's got like 1 month per page for the first few pages, which is really useful. And I can kind of also plan out when my full moons are and stuff like that. So I can just have a little bit of an understanding about what's going on astrologically, specifically locally with our moon. Because I'm like, if I am sensitive to this stuff, which I feel like I am becoming more sensitive to it through understanding and knowledge, then I better know what's going on so that I can know what I'm supposed to be feeling, you know? And if I don't feel anything, then it would be like, okay, well, maybe it doesn't hold quite so much weight as what I thought, but only one way to find out. Wow, my stomach is rumbling. I need to eat some lunch. Excuse me if there's like, sounds like it's growling. So yeah, I've got my moleskins, I've got my plans going down, and it feels really good. I've been getting up, well, we got up fairly early this morning. I think we got up at like 6:30. My plan is to be getting up at 5 a.m. by next week. which means much earlier nights. I need to be getting to bed by like 10. And then we did a whole bunch of stretching and like yoga, and Ella bought a juicer. Ella's parents had a super schmancy juicer that they weren't using, so they very kindly gave it to us, / loaned it to us, / Ella didn't really give them much choice, just packed it and stole it. So thank you to the Dentons for the really nice juicer. It's one of those ones that you kind of see in the cafe where they like have a thing, they chuck the stuff in the top, and then there's like a funnel that they have a press, and it just goes and just spits out perfect juice, and then pulp comes out the other side. So that's fun. But yeah, it's literally day two of us being back in the mother city in Cape Town. But yeah, I think, like, thinking about the last week, like when we were in the Airbnb actually in Glastonbury, I was thinking about how fun it would be actually to have an Airbnb one day, or a B&B, or a campsite, or something to host people. And I wouldn't necessarily be directly hosting, but creating experiences around staying somewhere, like a sleepover somewhere. I think a campsite might be right up my street. One day maybe I'll have a campsite in the UK and or one in South Africa. That would just be like the best campsite you've ever seen. That would be super fun. And yeah, well, talking about also setting intentions through the new year, according to popular astrology, with your monthly lunar cycles with the moon, obviously it goes from a new moon to a full moon over and back again over the course of a month. And apparently it's really good on a new moon to be setting your intentions. Whoa, definitely hungry. Did you hear that? New moons are really good for setting intentions. So you kind of, around that sort of time, specifically on the day of the new moon, which is yesterday, we sat and I sort of wrote down all the things that, all my intentions going forwards. And particularly because it was a new moon in Capricorn, which probably doesn't make much sense to anybody who doesn't know much about astrology, but it's Capricorn, basically, a new moon in Capricorn is a lot about like making practical changes and practical adaptations in your life. And Capricorns are very good at organizing and doing and achieving. They get shit done. And so a new moon in Capricorn, setting intentions around exactly that. In fact, I wrote down a bunch of them. And it's just the stuff that really I know that I've been going to want to be getting more into since I'm back here, to help my health and help my progress on my journey. But just like meditating, just consistent exercise, early mornings, getting my photo and my video editing done, but in like a structured way that where I have boundaries between my life and my work. Actually going out and seeking those missions and seeking those photos and flying the drone and shooting and doing all the things that I enjoy doing, in order that I have some photos and videos to edit when I come home. Getting back on my Instagram story game. So if you follow me on Instagram, if you don't follow me on Instagram, go and check me out, Mr. Ben Brown. And there you'll be able to see like more of a daily sort of update of what I'm up to. It's just a lot easier for me to keep my boundaries set when I'm sharing through Instagram. It's very quick and easy for me, and I can get as creative as I want to with it, and I can keep you guys up to date. Staying on top of emails, reading books, not watching, like, I mean, I don't really watch TV or Netflix or anything like that anyway. It's not really my jam. But really focusing on my nutrition, and actually focusing everything on sort of on the inside out, you know, coming back into myself in order to help everything that's happening on my outer world. And just breathing is like something that I've been finding so much power and peace in this year. Like people, you know, when you're upset about, or someone's upset about something, and or even in the movies or just life generally, people are like, okay, calm down, breathe, take a deep breath, and you're like, shut up. I'm like freaking out about something. Don't tell me to take a deep breath. That's exactly what you need to do. Like, it's like in terms of your biology, there's a lot of stuff going on, right? It's being it like the human body is a complicated machine. But the one thing that helps you connect back into your mind and like be more mindful and take control over your mind, which is the sort of controller of your emotions. Breathing is the fastest and best way to reconnect with your mind like that. So literally just taking a few minutes in the morning to focus on your breath, take a nice deep breath in through your nose and then out through your mouth, like a nice long not like that exactly, but it's really powerful and it's really good for you, and it helps level the playing field a little bit in your head and in your body chemistry. So you have like a fighting chance if you have a bit of a day, or if you, like most of us, live like pretty intense lives where we're confronted with a lot of challenges throughout our whole day that are testing our patience constantly. So bringing everything back to your breath helps you bring everything sort of into clarity in your mind. That's only something I've been working on recently, but already finding a lot of strength in it. I say only been working, I mean like the mindful side of things, like meditation. I've been doing a bit of meditation, but I wasn't really focused on my breathing so much. I was focusing on meditating. I was like, I don't know, I just gotta meditate, guys. So I just close my eyes and like try and clear my mind, but it'd be really difficult to do unless I was working on my breath work too. But you know how I say I do cold showers, or jumping in the cold ocean, or any kind of extreme where your body is like exposed to extreme cold, like rolling in the snow or anything like that makes you hyperventilate and freak out and think you're gonna die. That's also a really good way of getting back into your breathing. Because, and I mean, I wasn't very good at it this morning, certainly. When I jumped in the ocean, it was so cold, guys. I can kind of push through a little bit, and then I'm definitely cold, but I don't like get shakes afterwards. Like I'm not hypothermic afterwards. But yeah, that definitely takes practice. That comes back to the whole Wim Hof breathing method thing, where you are hyperventilating really and like purging your body full of oxygen, which previously I've been told is something that's bad, and you don't want to get dizzy, you'll fall over. Like, don't make yourself dizzy. I mean, don't purge my whole body with this vital, beautiful oxygen that we need to survive. Like, why not? So I want to actually do the Wim Hof course. I think you can do an online one, but I also kind of want to save it for doing it in real life with him one day. And shout out to Wim Hof, actually, because what an incredible human. Just if you don't follow him, have a little look for him online. I think he's Iceman Hof, but just search for Wim Hof, Wimhoff. Yeah, he's just an amazing human. What I love about him, he doesn't give a fuck about what everybody thinks of him. And why would you? Like, when you are such a, like, he's so powerful and so happy, and just he epitomizes the human spirit and nature of like humanity for me. It's so cool. I really want to meet him one day. He's definitely a wizard. He's magic. Yeah, and he's bringing healing through breathing techniques to the masses through his courses, and he's bringing confusion a little bit around science and around traditional methods of like healing processes. Very interesting. highly recommend getting involved in that kind of thing. A good place to start with the Wim Hof thing is search for Joe Rogan's podcasts. He's done two or maybe even three now with him, but certainly two that I've heard changed my world, like really amazing podcasts. So check those out. Flip, what else? Oh yeah, I've just started reading. I got Robin Sharma's new book, The 5 AM Club, which he's been writing. I followed Robin Sharma on Instagram as well. He's a very inspiring dude. And I've read a bunch of his books. The most popular one is called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. If any of you guys have read that or heard of that, this is Robin Sharma's work. So I'm only a few pages into it, but the 5 AM Club is a concept that he teaches and has taught and has spoken about in his books for a long time. But I think this is kind of like the 5 AM Club seems like his number one book, you know, like that he's sort of going to put out in his life. So I'll let you know how that's going. Considering I want to join the 5 AM Club and I want to get all my productivity up and I want to start like smashing it again, whatever that means. I feel like I'm smashing it already just because I have a lot more control over my emotions and my mind. I kind of don't necessarily know exactly where I'm going right now, but I know the journey is going to be amazing, and it already is, and I will find out in due time exactly what it is that I'm doing this year. Through being mindful and not trying to escape that reality, really, I suppose, and my responsibilities and because I want to keep this whole thing going. There's only a very small part of me that wants to delete everything off of the internet and go and live in the woods. And that small part of me is getting smaller by the day. Okay, what else? Flip, have I been, like, said that I was going to talk about on this podcast? I've got all my notes down here. Look at this. Plans. I guess plans for next week. I'll let you know how I'm going after this week in terms of my routine and getting up early, and keep up with me, like I say before, on the Instagram to see what I'm up to. I want to do some more free diving. Oh, I've also got a garage full of camping gear, surfboards, Land Rover parts, camera bits and pieces. Like, the garage is full of all sorts of delights, but it's a complete mess. So I'm going to have to really spend some time. What I want to do is make the garage like the sort of place where if Tom or someone phones me and says, we're going freediving, can you come? I can just go, yeah, and grab my freediving box with all my wetsuit and everything I need in it, chuck it in the car and just go. That kind of like organization helps make my life a little bit more easy. And I'm more likely to say yes to the things I'm supposed to be doing rather than being like, oh no, I'm not going to go freediving because I still don't know where my mask is or my weights belt is missing and all these other excuses. So it's time to say no to a whole bunch of stuff for a while and just like figure out my life, find my routine, find my feet, and then just go. It's really exciting. But yeah. Right now, I'm just going to say thank you so much also for everybody who's like subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Overcast or whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, which is also now available on Spotify. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, please give us a little follow. That really helps with everything. And I will see you guys on Instagram. Until next time, when I make another podcast, I think I might try and get a guest on, since I've surrounded by some of my most favorite people in the world in Cape Town. I've got to get some of them on this podcast. I'm just going to talk about life, I suppose. But yeah, I hope you guys are doing really well. I hope you had a really good first week of 2019. And wherever you are in the world, I'm sending you some love, and thank you so much for listening to this again. Like, it really means the world to me that I can continue to communicate with you guys and sort of share my thoughts on things and keep you guys up to date. Right now, I'm going to sit in front of my computer, edit some photos, spend 2 hours editing a video, and then I'm going to go for maybe... Actually, I'm going to go get some lunch first. I'm going to go chow a load of vegetables. I'm telling you guys, this whole veggie thing, I'm pretty convinced on it, hey. I'm feeling pretty freaking... Yo, did you hear that? Another rumble from my tummy. I'm feeling pretty freaking hungry. I have to eat a lot more in order to maintain my weight when you're going sort of plant-based. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely giving my body a bit of a break from dealing with meat. And I don't really... Sometimes, like, when we... Sometimes if I can smell a choppy on the braai, like a lamb chop on a braai. A braai is South African for barbecue, by the way. If I can smell a lekker choppy on a braai, then I'm like, oh, fuck. I do actually miss chewing on that piece of meat. But not to the point where I'd ever consider eating one now. It just doesn't make sense to me. And that might sound really weird to a lot of people, but it doesn't sound more weird to anybody. It doesn't sound weirder to anybody other than me. I used to eat so much meat. Like, this is a big transition. This is a big change. I'm not going to sit here and be like, look at me. Like, I don't eat meat anymore. I'm better than everybody. Right? This is a personal experiment. And it's... I'm only going to continue doing it if it's working for me. And it's working for me. So, the other nice thing is that, like, weirdly, and this shouldn't... I mean, it mostly has an impact on me because of my public sort of lifestyle, you know, and I like to share the things that I'm trying. But the whole plant-based, like, category, plant-based as opposed to vegan, has been a bit of a lifesaver for me because my old, like, interactions... So my previous interactions with some sort of vegan Nazis online has left such a, excuse the pun, like, bad taste in my mouth. That I just didn't, I was like, also, I don't want to misrepresent veganism any further, because that was the number one complaint, right? Like, you're misrepresenting veganism. It's like, well, actually, I'm just trying here. Like, give us a break. So plant-based, I can get away with just saying, like, yeah, I don't really eat animal products, which I actually don't. Like, I avoid cheese most of the time. But I love cheese, don't get me wrong. Like, I love cheese. So I'll eat it if I want it. But it just isn't very often, because I don't feel great after I've eaten it. And as for meat, that's just not really even a thing anymore at all. Like, at all. It's really strange. But if I feel a real craving... for something, and it's there, and it's not just a fucking McDonald's burger or something low frequency and disgusting, then yeah, I might have a little chew on it, because I'm not a vegan, I'm plant-based. I also eat honey still, and the odd egg every now and then, if it's high quality, not like the shit in a tray that they serve you on a flight first thing in the morning. They give you that horrible egg, like, thingy, frittata. I don't know what the hell that is, but it's disgusting and it needs to stop. But what do I know? Anyway, this is the end of the podcast. Thanks for following. Thanks for listening. Oh, thanks for listening to this noisy motorbike go by. Let me know what you think about what's happening here with the podcast. I invite you to let me know what you think, but I also invite you to, like, if you don't have anything particularly, like, nice to say, I don't think you would have made it all the way to the end of this podcast if you didn't have, if you weren't, like, some kind of, if you were a hater. And I guess some haters maybe are, like, sitting out there, like, writing all this shit down for fodder. So I'm just gonna say, how's it to all the haters? I'm gonna guess there's one. I don't know. Haters need love too, guys. They need all the love, actually. But yeah, if you wanna let me know what you think of this whole thing, like, I know this microphone situation is a little bit difficult. I'm like being quite close to it. I've got my headphones in. I'm trying to suss out the whole sound thing. I was even messing around in GarageBand just now because I record these in podcasts in on the app Anchor, but I'm always looking for better ways, like, or ways of improving the quality of things, especially since we're like 4 episodes in now. I want to start stepping my game up, you know, and getting more invested in it and making these things better. So I appreciate the feedback that you guys are sending me in the comments, in my DMs. I'm sorry I can't reply to all of my DMs. I do read them. So yeah, thanks for sending me the love. And like I said 10 minutes ago, I'm going to end this podcast. But yeah, I love you guys so much, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Peace.